Thank you very much. That was absolutely beautiful. Be finding in your Bibles this morning, once again, 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. And when you find it, if you would please rise as we honor the Lord with the reading of His Word. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. The word of our Lord says unto us from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Would you bow your head with me in prayer? Almighty God, we are so thankful to be in the house of the living God. We are so thankful that we have come here this morning, that you have compelled us through the power of your Holy Spirit to stand here this morning to bow and to sing, and to recognize that we are on holy ground. Lord, we worship you this morning for being a holy God, a righteous God, a God who has given us His Word that we might know how to bring revival to America, that we might know that you are Lord, that you are King, that you are God over all. Lord, I pray this morning that you would speak to our hearts, that we would recognize something we often forget, and that is, we are not God, you are. And Lord, you have called us to humble ourselves. May you drive that point home here in our worship today. And Lord, may your Spirit do the work that only you can do in the hearts of each and every one of us. In Jesus' name I pray, and all of God's people said, Amen. You may be seated. I wonder if you've ever heard about the turtle who wanted to winter in Florida. He knew he was not going to be able to go that far by himself, so he talked to a couple of geese, and he said, If you will hold a rope, I will clamp in the middle, and you can fly me on to Florida. That plan was working marvelously until someone on the ground looked up and marveled and said, I wonder whoever had that idea. At that point, the turtle opened his mouth. He couldn't resist, and he said, I did! Now, God has told us to humble ourselves here in this verse, and this is what we're taking up today. Now, why would we need to humble ourselves, friends? I'll tell you why. Because pride, more than any other sin, is what is holding back revival in our homes, in our churches, in our community, in our county, in our state, and in this nation. Pride, more than any other sin, is undermining the foundation of America, this nation that we love so dearly. Pride, more than any other sin, is causing Christians, born-again people, to live lives of defeat. Pride, more than any other sin, is populating and filling up that place called hell. Pride is a dangerous sin. And God makes it clear the reason we're not experiencing revival in America is because America has not humbled herself. And by the way, lest we forget, you and I, we make up America, don't we? We are members one of another. It's just like the church. We are a nation of people. And we are a nation of people who have failed to humble ourselves before Almighty God. And God says here in this verse, If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. We need to understand that pride brings domestic ruin. Pride has turned homes into battlegrounds. Pride brings financial ruin. Many folks are in economic difficulty today simply because pride has them buying things they cannot afford to impress people they do not like. Pride brings emotional ruin. People have become a slave in this world today to somebody else's opinion. Somebody tells you, you need to look this way, you need to say these things, you need to behave in this manner, and pride just simply brings ruin. You're so caught up, worried about what somebody might say. Pride, it brings spiritual ruin. Do you realize that there are some people whom God will never be able to be used because of pride? You see, it's possible for you to be used, but on the one hand, but you're too big for your britches. You think you're too smart for God. You're just too big for God to use. But on the other hand, remember this, you can never be too small for God to use. Pride brings spiritual and it brings eternal ruin. Jesus told about two men who went up to the temple to pray. You read all about it in Luke chapter 18. One went to the temple to pray, filled himself up full of himself. He lifted up his heart, and the Bible says he prayed with himself. Well, that's very interesting, don't you think? The Bible says he prayed with himself. In other words, he was just talking to himself. Jesus wasn't listening to him. And this is how he began his prayer. He said, Father, I thank you that I'm not like other men are. And then he said, Lord, I fast twice in a week. Lord, I tithe all I possess, and so forth. And all he was doing was simply telling God what a good boy he was. He was saying, God, look at me. Look how wonderful I am. And then Jesus said that another man came in. And this time it was a publican. Now, publicans were the social outcast of that day. They were the tax collectors from Rome. And as you well know, everybody hates a tax collector. But this man was convicted of his sin, and Jesus said that he fell on his knees, he beat upon his breast, and he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Literally, in the original language, it says, be merciful to me, the sinner. In other words, this man saw himself as the chiefest of all sinners. And Jesus said, those two men went up to the temple to pray, and he says, I tell you, this man, the publican, this man went home justified. Now, two men went to church that day. And you and I, we've come to church today. Jesus says one man went home dignified, the other man went home justified. How do you want to go home today? Dignified or justified? Do you know what's going to happen today? In a few minutes, I'm going to give an invitation. And that invitation is going to encourage people to respond to what God is saying in this sanctuary this morning. Some of you may need to come to be saved. You've not yet made a public profession of faith. And you're going to need to come, and you're going to need to say, and you're going to need to pray to Jesus, and you're going to need to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin and come into your heart and to save you. You say, why do we have to do that publicly? Because Jesus said, if you can't confess me before men, I can't confess you before my Father which is in heaven. Some of you need revival. Some of you living in bitterness. Some of you got some angst. Let's just say you got some issues, amen? And so you got some issues, and rather than dealing with those issues, you just come each week, and then you go home in the same condition you've come because you won't allow God to deal with your heart. And in a few moments, I'm going to give that invitation. And you know, some folks are going to sit back there and they're going to wonder, they're going to sit and they're going to think, well, I wonder if any old sinner going to go up there today and get saved. I don't need any of that. I don't need to listen to what God is saying. Lord, I do this, and Lord, I do that. Look how good I am. Like that Pharisee, you just think the gospel's for somebody else, but it's not for you. Do you know why that Pharisee was so proud? Do you know why he prayed that way he did? Because all he was doing was comparing himself to somebody else. You see, he was comparing himself to the wrong standard. And that's what a lot of us do. Pride had him feeling and thinking he was better than everybody else. But he was measuring himself against the wrong standard. He was measuring himself against other sinners instead of against Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God. You see, he should be doing what you and I should be doing each and every time we open up the Bible, each and every time we're in church. We ought to be measuring ourselves against what God says in his word. We ought to be measuring ourselves against Almighty God, not against one another. It was pride that turned Lucifer, the son of the morning, into Satan, the father of the night. Do you realize the national religion in Satan's kingdom is pride? That's what Satan's kingdom is built on. Pride defies God. Pride ruined the human race. In the Garden of Eden, when Satan came to tempt Eve, do you think he came to tempt Eve, that the temptation was to taste some fruit? Good night. There's fruit everywhere in the garden. The temptation was, take this and you will be like God. It was the same thing that caused Satan to fall. The same thing that ruined the human race and brought sin into the world. And I'm telling you, pride defies God. Look at the heartache, all of the tears, all of the sorrow, all of the war, all of the strife, all of the pain, all of the agony, and all of the shame. Do you want to know what's caused it all? Pride. P-R-I-D-E. Pride has wrecked the human race. C.S. Lewis said, as long as you're proud, you cannot know God. A proud man is always looking down on things and people, and as long as you are looking down, you cannot see something above you. The man who is looking down on others cannot be looking up at God. Don't believe me? Try it. Try to look down and look up at one and the same time. It cannot be done. Pride defies God. Pride is the only disease known to man that makes everybody else sick except the one who has it. And God says he will not heal our land spiritually until his people humble themselves. If you have a pen, you might want to underline that. Shall humble themselves. One author wrote about humility, that humility comes from the Latin word humus, which means ground. The humble person is one who lives, so to speak, on the ground floor. They're not self-important. They're not self-assertive. They do not insist in having their own way, and they do not put on a show of false modesty in order to impress other people. The Greek word for humility is tapanos. It means to have an accurate estimate of oneself in relation to God and others. You know, the humble person acknowledges all they have and all they owe to God, and they submit their lives to him. Well, you know, I like to think, and when I get to thinking, I thought of this. There are two ways to be humbled. First, God can humble us through experiences and chastening, which I believe is going on right now in this nation. It's going on in our home. It's going on in our churches. It's going on in our communities, in our counties, in our states, and in our nation. Or second, we can humble ourselves freely and willingly. The option results in forgiveness and healing. But if the humility is collective, and many of God's people are doing what our church is doing. Can you just imagine the amount of forgiveness and the amount of healing in just a congregation our size that could take place, and then magnify that all across America if all of God's people would begin to humble themselves and to seek God's face and to pray? You see, I'm telling you, it'd be all-encompassing, wouldn't it? And it would bring us right back to 2 Chronicles 7:14, shall humble themselves. You know, how come God tells us? Have you ever thought of this? Have you ever wondered, why does God tell us to humble ourselves before we pray? I mean, you're all good Christian people here this morning, amen? How many of you, I mean, Christians, we just pray, don't we? I mean, we pray before we eat. Now, some of the things we eat, I don't know how God can bless it. It's not good for us. But we say, oh God, bless this food to our use. We pray before we now I lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord my soul to keep. I mean, we do pray, don't we? So why does God tell us to humble ourselves? Well, James offers us a clue in James chapter 4, verse 6, where he writes, God resists the proud. In other words, God opposes the proud, but offers grace to the humble. And if the question were asked, what is one of the things that keeps our prayers from being answered? It's pride. Pride is a barrier that keeps our prayers from reaching God's ears. Pride is a barrier to having intimacy with God. Since prayer is the most intimate exchange we can have with God, this explains why God desires for us to humble ourselves first before we pray. After all, how intimate do you think God wants to be with us if we're just simply full of ourselves? And how intimate do you want to be with those you love when they're full of themselves or you're full of yourself? Do you really think God would tell us to humble ourselves first if God didn't already know that you and I, in the human heart, we have an issue with pride? Now, you know I said that right. Say amen. God knows we have an issue with pride. Let me ask you a question. Does it really matter what we think, whether we agree with the preacher or not? No, because God says it right here in this verse, humble yourselves. And I'm telling you, all that matters is what God thinks. Doesn't matter what I think. Doesn't matter what you think. We are not God. Amen? He is God. And God says, humble yourself. If you got an issue with that, you can take that up with God. He'll get you straight. Now, let me ask you a question. Because let's get down where the rubber meets the road. What matters most to you? What you think? Or what God thinks? Let me put that in the form of a question. Is it what you think or is it what God thinks? The truth is, if we say that what God thinks matters most, then can I ask you, why don't you and I completely obey God? If what God thinks is what matters most to us, what is it that causes us to deviate from God and to turn a deaf ear to God and to go off and do our own thing? Stubborn, willful pride is what it is. Isn't it true? Now be careful, you know where you're at this morning. But isn't it true that at some point we all thought, we've all felt that we know better than God? And if you say, no, I never felt that way, preacher, man, you're the only one, you're a weird one here. Well, then why do you sin? Why do you sin? I'll tell you why, because it's pride. Like it or not, we all have an issue with pride. or God would not have told us to humble ourselves first. Do you know what pride is at its root? It's self-worship. So think about it from God's perspective, which is the only perspective that matters. Why would God want to heal our nation if we're just going to turn around and use what He has given us to worship ourselves? Why would God want to heal our nation if we're just going to turn around and use what He gives us to build our own little kingdoms that'll bring us glory? Instead of using what He gives to us to advance His kingdom agenda here on earth. If it was you, would you want to heal this land knowing that people are just going to use it for their own selves? Heavens, we've been praying that way for years, haven't we? Oh, God, give me, give me, give me, give me. Oh, thank you, Lord. Lord who? I'm just using this for me. That's been going on for years. It's no wonder we find ourselves in the mess we find ourselves in today. God says, humble yourself. In other words, God is saying, if you will humble yourself, then I will take your prayers and I will answer your prayers and I will forgive you of your sin and I'll do even more than that. I will heal your land. Now think about this. Your land could be your home. Your land could be this church. Your land could be this community, this county, this state, this nation. And God says, if you'll humble yourself, I'll forgive and I'll bring healing. Who doesn't want forgiveness and healing? Brothers and sisters, can I ask you a question? How many of you are disgusted at how arrogant and prideful you yourself can be with family and friends? And I want you to know something this morning. That's the one thing I hate most about myself. Being prideful. Being arrogant with family and friends. Yeah, I just don't like that. What about you? Let me ask you a few questions this morning. Do you inwardly glow when you're right or take great pleasure? Do you always have to have the last word in every conversation? Are we proud of the material possessions God has blessed us with that we've been able to amass for ourselves and for our families? Or are we thankful to Almighty God for what He's given us and using what He's given us for His purposes? Are you holding on to the blessings God has given you with an open or a closed hand? What is it that you really love? Is it the gifts that God gives, or is it the giver Himself? Do you complain about what you don't have or haven't received? Or are you thankful for what you do have and the things that God has given you? What characterizes you? Are you a complainer and a whiner, always going around pouting? Or are you thankful with a smile on your face for the things that Almighty God has done? Do you praise yourself when success comes your way, or do you give your praise to God? Are you worshipful and dependent on God? Do you seek to serve others because of who God is? Are you proud to be an American because you think America is better than all the other nations? Or are you proud to be an American so that God can use you to be a blessing to all the other nations? People who are made in the image of God just like you and I. If we're truly honest with ourselves, how many of us might have to say, you know, pride consumes a large part of my day. God knows the answer. It's to all of these questions? Do we? Do we know the answers? Or are we too proud to admit it? Now, sadly and tragically, many of us are just too cute, too sophisticated, too sexy, too educated, too talented, too wealthy, or a legend in our own mind for God to use. If we want God to heal our land, to heal our home, heal our churches, our communities, our county, state, and nation, and not continue to oppose us, then we're going to have to deal with our pride. Pride is that thing inside of us that says, you don't need to worship God, read God's word, pray, or be an example to your children. Pride is that thing inside of us which lies within us that makes us feel or think that we don't need to go to church. Pride is that thing within us that makes excuses to others before God and claims, you just don't know my heart. That's true, but God does. And God knows you're not obeying Him. God knows you're just making an excuse, seeking to put up a fence either before your father, before your mother, or before some loved one, or before a pastor who genuinely cares about your spiritual soul and is sincerely questioning your devotion to God. Pride is that thing inside of us that says, church is a good thing unless I got something better to do. Pride is that thing inside of us that causes us to trust God will take us home to heaven one day, but you know, I just can't trust God with my day-to-day living. Pride is that thing inside of us that causes us to commit deeds of darkness all the while claiming that we are walking in the light. Pride is that thing inside of us that causes us to call evil good and good evil. Pride is that thing inside of us that causes us to be a stumbling block to others. Pride is that thing inside of us that makes us feel spiritually superior to others. Pride is that thing inside of us that refuses to forgive others who have wronged us, all the while refusing to admit that we have wronged others. Pride is that thing inside of us that says, though I may be a member of the body of Christ, I just want you all to know it's all about me. And if I don't like what's happening in church, you all going to know it because I'm just going to stomp my feet. I'm going to sit sour and soak. Pride is that thing inside of us that causes us to believe we can live with one foot in heaven and one foot in the world. Pride is that thing inside of us that causes us to boast about ourselves, our families, our this and our that. Pride is that thing inside of us that takes credit for all the things that God has given us and supplied us with. Pride is that thing inside of us that believes God's commands are optional. Pride is that thing inside of us that says others can serve if they want to, but I won't because I don't have to. Pride is that thing inside of us that convinces us we're special and after all, everybody wants to be me. Pride is that thing inside of us that causes us to bitterly complain when something at home or in the church or the community, the county, state, or nation doesn't go our way. Pride is that thing inside of us that struts like a peacock in arrogance, looking past our own sins and looking down on those who do sin. Pride is that thing inside of us that causes us to gossip, complain, and offer false praise. Pride is that thing inside of us that believes there's no correlation between our private and our public life. Pride is that thing inside of us that puts us first, others second, and God dead last. Pride. Is it any wonder that God tells us to humble ourselves? Is it any wonder that God says, those who refuse to humble themselves, I will humble. And those who do humble themselves, I will exalt. What holds true for each one of us? Holds true for our homes, our churches, our communities, our county, our state, and our nation. Do we not believe God when he says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall? Brothers and sisters, we Christians who number somewhere between 83 and 233 million Americans, depending upon the source, and who are stationed in every level of society, should be doing what? We should be humbling ourselves that God will hear our prayers and God will heal our land. Now let me ask you a question this morning. What would it mean for you to know you did your part simply by doing what God asked? What would it mean for you to know because you chose to humble yourself, God heard your prayers for your children? And thank God that he did, because by God's grace, your children are able to avoid the pitfalls of alcohol, drugs, pornography, and illicit sexual encounters. All that comes from the enemy, and the enemy struts before him every single day. What would it mean for you to be part of seeing your church, your community, your county, your state, and your nation return to God, all because you chose to do what God says? You chose to humble yourself. How much humility is really on display in your home, in your church, in our community, in this county, in this state, and in this nation? Have you ever stopped to consider or think how many consequences we could have avoided if we hadn't given ourselves over to pride? Or how many things we might not have to endure because we chose to humble ourselves? Without a doubt, pride is the reason we are witnessing in our nation today and in our communities and in many churches and in many homes the battle zones that we are witnessing of unprecedented levels of evil and chaos. God's Word has let us know why these things are happening. It's because we have become an arrogant people, a prideful nation, that we are experiencing in our nation the consequences of a society that is seeking to live apart and independently from God. And God has simply given us what we deserve. We don't like it. Now God has told us what the answer to the problem is. It's our pride. And God has told us what the answer to our pride is. Humble yourselves. The only question that remains, are we going to choose to humble ourselves or not? If we'll do what God says, we know God will do what he says. God always does what he says. Amen? If we choose not to, God won't. What choice should we be making? If we want God to heal America, if we want God to heal our homes, if we want God to heal our hearts, I think you know the choice. Well, Father God, we thank you for your word to us today. Lord, this thing called pride, it eats at every one of us. And Lord, we need to be on guard against pride. Lord, we all ought to be praying, Father God, would you root out pride and its every vestige, its every form in my life and in the lives of the sheep of your pasture? Lord, if we'll do what you have said, you will do what you have promised. Oh Lord, forgive us for not humbling ourselves. Forgive us for not dealing with our pride. God forbid we should be like that Pharisee who only prayed to himself. How much better if we were like the publican, that we just got real with God, that you might forgive us of our sin because we chose to humble ourselves, that you might restore us, that you might give and grant unto us abundantly more than we could ever ask or think, because we chose to humble ourselves before Almighty God. Lord, today as we've sung and as we've prayed just before we serve the communion, if there's any here this morning that need to make a profession of faith as James comes to lead us in our invitational hymn,